Fact, I've been a little busier than one preacher I heard of. He hadn't preached but about two or three times all year. He said, I tell you, they're just a-preaching me to death. Well, we're doing a little better than that. I asked him at the dinner table, Brother Ziegler, that I'd be preaching to you tonight. They didn't think he did, so maybe that's why you're here tonight. Anyway, I heard of a guest speaker that showed up. There wasn't anybody there but him and the pastor. And he looked to the pastor and he said, you did tell him that I was going to be here, didn't you? He said, no, but I'll sure find out who did. So... you know, you never know. I'm going to ask a favor of you tonight. A very familiar portion of Scripture, and I believe you could help me quote it. Would you do that? All right. Ronnie's smiling a little bit. He's looking better. He's going to... Psalms 1. If I get tangled up in my own harness, you go right ahead and help me, okay? All right, let's go. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. All right, thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight. We thank you for your divine presence. As they sang tonight, surely blessed Holy Ghost, thou art welcome in our midst. Come as you desire to come. You know every heart, you know every life, you know every burden. We pray that you'd minister to us from your word. And whatever you do, we give thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'd like to talk about the blessed individual. Blessed is the man, you know. Some things that he doesn't do, and then there's some things that he does do. And every individual ought to want to be blessed of the Lord. A lot of individuals want to be blessed of the Lord. They want God's blessing. They just don't want to do what it takes to bring that blessing. I mean, they want God to pour on the blessing. Just keep it coming. Financially, temporally, physically, spiritually, whatever. They want to be blessed. I mean, who wouldn't want to be blessed? But he tells us there's certain things and areas. And he said, blessed is the man that. And, you know, he's talking about being blessed as God counts an individual blessed. Now, the world, if you'd ask them tonight, what does it mean to be blessed? Why, they'd say, preacher, if somebody would just write me a check for $1 million, why, I'd be blessed. Well, that might come in handy. But really, that might not amount to too much. And so they look at it in just about, well, Americans look at it strictly in financial terms, don't they? I mean, that's why we're in the mess we're in politically. Individuals, whatever somebody will promise them, big things, doesn't matter whether it can be attained or not, why, they'll vote for an individual like that. But... we're talking about being blessed as God would count an individual to be blessed. And that's the kind of blessings that we want. Praise God. Blessed is that individual. Well, what does it mean to be blessed? I think in your Amplified Bible, it would say blessed or blessed. And then it would probably say happy. Happy. I tell you, we're living in an unhappy world. Just look at the countenance. I mean, when you go to Walmart or somewhere out there among the mingling crowd, just look and see how many happy individuals you think that you can pick out. And I realize individuals have got their burdens, got their problems, their aches and their pains and various things, you know, that just kind of saps them and takes the joy out of life. Years ago, I was at the checkout point, and there was an elderly couple. Yeah, more than you. And I don't know what the old fella had done, but I tell you, she lit in and she started cursing him out. I mean, it was awful. She didn't have any shame about her. And the old fella, he just stood and took it, you know. He probably was used to it. But I'm not. And I don't know how well I could take it. But anyway, the old fella just took it. But they were a very unhappy couple. I need an air conditioner for some reason, a little air conditioner, I think, to put in my camper. Somebody had one advertised, so I went over there and got it. This old fella, he was kind of tottering around in there worse than what I do. And it was one of them second marriage deals. She brushed by him, and he maybe said, well, knock me down. I said, well, I asked her what her name was. And she never would tell me. She said, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so's mother. And she never would tell me what her name was. But I could just sense in the atmosphere of that home it really, kind of lacking. But to be blessed, the blessed individual, be a happy individual. You know, the Lord's the one that makes people happy. Jesus is the one that makes people happy. If they have him, they're happy. If they don't have Jesus, I don't care what else they have. Somewhere along the line, it's going to trip them up. They're not going to be happy. They're going to be miserable. They're going to want to end it all. Just various things that they're going to want to do. But if they have Jesus, you was talking the other night about the lady that you worked for out there, Brother. I don't want to say Ward or French, but anyway, about the lady, a lot of money, money to burn, but not happy, miserable, maybe can't sleep at night. Well, that don't mean you're backslid if you can't sleep good at night, but I tell you, it does his. He giveth his beloved sleep, and it's good to be happy because we have Jesus. Well, another thing it said was to be fortunate. I believe there in the Amplified Bible, happy or fortunate. I'm fortunate. I'm glad that I was born an American for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons is that we have the gospel. Praise God. Now back in Ohio, Canton, Ohio, there used to be a big black fella that came to the Canton church over there with the Maleys. And I can't remember his name, but he has Collins. And he has got up and testified. He said, you know, I'm glad my people was brought over here as slaves. He said, because as a result of it, I got to hear the gospel. Amen. Well, nobody wants to be a slave. And that's a miserable and a terrible thing. But I tell you, worse things than being a slave, and that's being a slave to sin and not hearing the gospel and not being set free. So blessed individual is a happy individual. He's a fortunate individual. And I believe the third thing that Amplified Bible said was that prosperous. Oh, man, we all want to be prosperous, don't we? Most of us are. Praise God. Sure we are. We've got clothes to wear, food to eat, home to go back to. I think about some of the terrible things that has come upon our United States, some of the floods going down the Mississippi area down there, and people that have been flooded out and no home, nowhere to turn to. So many things that have been wiped away, and in spite of, well, we've had to have been miserable a little bit because electricity's been off for a few hours, and maybe the wind blowed and took a few shingles off and things like that. But all in all, we've been blessed, and God has been good to us, and He's protected us and favored us. And so we thank the Lord for that. Well, He said, blessed is the individual that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. I'd rather seek the counsel of the Christian. Praise God. Well, I've got a problem here, and I don't know which way to turn. I've been praying about it. And so instead of seeking to the ungodly, go to a Christian and say, what advice could you give me? How could you help me? Well, you know, they'll probably point you maybe to a scripture and say, this is what the Word has to say. This is what the Bible has to say. Here's a verse that would just fit your need and fit your problem. Praise God. Doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They wouldn't be able to give the right counsel, but God's Word gives us the right counsel, and His people will, most of the time, at least purposely, they'll try to give us the right counsel, won't they? Praise God. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. And what that means is, and I have preached it wrong here, you know, sometimes you have to adjust your theology. Standeth not in the way of sinners. Now, that doesn't mean standing in the way and blocking, keep them out of the gospel. That's not what that means. How many years did I preach that wrong? Well, you should have paid attention. But what it does mean is they're not in here with the righteous, standeth in the way of sinners. They're out there, their circle. They're making up another circle, standing in the way of sinners. They're part of that group out there. The blessed individual, he's not out there. That's not his crowd. He loves them, he prays for them, but that's not his crowd. Standeth not. That's not where he's fellowshipping, in the way of sinners. But we do with the righteous. Oh, preacher. Prayer meeting time. Oh, let's see. What? Maybe I've got enough headache here that wouldn't bother me. I could say I've got a headache. I don't have to go tonight. Or maybe it's my back. Oh, my arthritis. I tell you, this weather, I don't know if it's the weather, if it's me, or whatever, that's just destroying me, killing me. Arthritis working overtime. But no, it's good to come to the house of God and be in fellowship with God's people. To hear somebody testify, that's wonderful. Praise God. To hear the songs of Zion, hear those fellows sing tonight, that's wonderful. Praise God. I'm glad for that. The congregational singing tonight that uplifts and lifts the burden and drives the gloom away and the shadows away and ministers to our heart. Thank God for that. There's people that really are afflicted and can't get out. There's people that live too far away. You get out where these people live out there, and you may drive for hundreds of miles, and there won't be a hole in this church. You know, a few rattlesnakes, but no hole in this church. And here, we can just get around, you know. I mean, there's hole in this churches ever so many miles and not too far apart. Thank the Lord for that. Well, it seemed like it with what he doesn't do, and the individual that would do this, it just progresses worse all the time, walking not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standing in the way, or with sinners out there, or sitting in the seat of the scornful. Well, the blessed individual doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. I've told you before, like Brother J.D. Stafford said, there was two things that he didn't want to do, and that was get fat and critical. And I don't either. But if I lose the battle of the first, I don't think that'll keep me out of heaven, Brother Robert. I know you're thinking on it, but I don't think that'll keep me out of heaven, because the Lord has given me plenty to eat and a good wife to cook it up. But I tell you, it will keep me out if I get critical. It will. You know, any individual can be destructive. They tell us in the building business, it takes somebody that knows a little something to be able to read a rule and get things kind of squared up and construct something. And that takes some effort and takes some, mind power and various things. But to be on the demolition crew, oh man, just hand me a sledgehammer, hand me a crowbar, kerwham, and begin to bang and knock and slam and just let her fall. When I pastored at La Junta, Colorado, one of the couples there in the church, the Lances, she said, "Brother Gibson, I'd like to have my front porch tore off." Well, okay, I'll be out in the morning or whenever and tear it off. Well, I don't know. You can't read people's minds. They're too weak, you know. Brother Lance, he come out there, and the first thing he started doing was knocking the quarter round off from around the post. Knocking that quarter. Well, you know, I started doing that too. And then when we got that knocked out of the way, buddy, we knocked them posts down out of the way, and that thing said, "Kroom." The front door opened. Sister Lance was a large lady. She said, "That's just the way that I didn't want it done." But it was already done too late. So anybody can tear up. Anybody can slam and bang. Anybody can criticize. Anybody can sit on the sideline and say, "Well, I just don't like that. I just don't see why it couldn't be done better. If they would just let me." Oh, yeah. You couldn't play them guitars, could you? Or play the organ. What can you do? Well, I can't either. But it's easy to criticize and find fault with the ones that do. And that's why sometimes people get their feelings hurt and they get kind of sensitive and they begin to pull back and they say, "Well, I really don't want to teach the class because I know somebody's going to find fault with it." Well, honey, just go ahead and let them find fault. Not sit in the seat of the scornful. First was the fellow that was walking, then he's standing, and now then he's slouched down somewhere in a relaxed position, sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know, there's something about scorn. There's something about that that just eats a fellow up. It hurts him worse than it hurts anybody else. It'll gnaw, it'll eat, it'll make him miserable. And he certainly won't be blessed. Now you can find fault with the best, I say this, but I don't know just some good people. I'm not sure just how you would do it. I would say you could find, if you'd look close enough, probably could find fault with the best individual, I guess. My wife seems to be able to keep me in line. It's called constructive criticism. And, you know, I need a lot of it, obviously. But God can help us, and he can bless us. And we can, there's something about love that looks over a lot of faults, isn't there? In the home, there's something about love that looks over the faults. And really, what complaints I'd have around the home would be so minor, it don't amount to anything. Don't amount to anything. I pick up the toothpaste at night. She squeezes it off in the middle. I squeeze it off back at the end and force it up, but she squeezes it off at the middle. But I've learned long ago, just patiently squeeze it back up from the bottom, squirt it. That's so minor, you know, isn't it? And there's other little things that's just so minor. So why let that ruin a home, ruin a marriage, cause a ripple? Just arm yourself and go on. And all right. So much for that. Set us not in the seat of the scorn. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Praise God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Every individual, I believe, has a delight in something. If they're breathing and normal, halfway normal, they've got a delight. They delight, and you can't be around them very long until you sense what that delight is. Oh, man. Look, let me show you out here my new pickup truck. Four-wheel drive, you know, gets 12 miles to the gallon. and man, look at that. Isn't that a beauty? The payments are just $498 a month. How can you beat that? You know, well, that's wonderful. Work at Jasper Engines, you could afford it. And yeah. Or maybe it's something else, you know. Used to, in my younger days, we'd talk about horse camp, didn't we? And some of the rest of you, we'd go to horse camp. We had great times. Some come to horse camp, play volleyball. They didn't ride horses, but we had a lot of fun, had great times, delight in that. Now then, things have moved on along the way. Maybe it's over to the lake, do a little fishing, fan the gnats off, but delight in something. And that's all right. There's nothing wrong in legitimate things. Not anything wrong in a little rest and relaxation, in a little vacation. There wouldn't be anything wrong, Ronnie, in just plain old retirement. I told the bone doctor one time after I had this knee replaced, and he goes to the Christian church, and I said, I preach every Sunday, and I've had 3 funerals in the last month or 6 weeks, and he said, what kind of a retirement is that? Well, it's a good retirement. Well, sure, who wants to not be busy? I said I would look forward to the time when I could sit on the front porch and just swat flies. But you catch up on that after a while, you know. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, it didn't say the promises of God. We can delight in the promises of God, and that's good. I tell you, whenever we're needing help and we get over and say, Lord, give me a promise for this situation. I need something from your word that's going to help me. You know, whenever we pray and seek God and faith reaches up and takes hold, but as we go through the day and the farther that we get from that time of prayer and that time when God is really witnessed in a wonderful way to our heart, if we're not careful, our faith tends to take a swag. You know? And so we need something that'll help us to stand. Out there in Ohio, we had to run a phone line from the parsonage quite a ways, maybe 50, 75 yards, at least 75 yards down to the school. And we had a little problem. Phone wasn't working down there at the school. James was with me. He's just a little fella. And we got up there, and that phone wire was taking quite a dip. He said, right there's the problem. you know. I mean, it was getting down in that dip, and it couldn't go on, couldn't get out. And that's the way with a lot of folks' faith. The farther they get from the place of prayer and where God is witnessed, why, you know. So we need something from the Word of God that's going to sustain us and say, thank God. And we delight in the promises of God. That's our. But that's not what he said. He said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, what's the law of the Lord? That's his commandments. That's his statutes. That's his instructions. And here's a fellow that's delighting in that. What kind of a fellow is that? That's the blessed individual. That's the Christian individual. That's the individual that's open and said, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, that's what I want to do, and I'm delighting in that. Because we know that God's not unreasonable. He's not hard. He's not harsh. He doesn't take advantage of us. He doesn't require things that are foolish and contrary to his word. He doesn't do those things. And so we can honestly delight ourselves in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate on Sunday morning. I mean, no, day and night. Praise God. I don't know, it seems to me God is some of the last things that's on my mind. But when I retire at night and I pray, and there's some individuals that I pray for their salvation every day, they're not here, but they ought to be. And I pray for them, and if I haven't prayed for them through the day, then I get that prayer in before I go to sleep at night. And then early in the morning, you know, our mind runs toward prayer, runs toward our devotions, run toward God. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Praise God. What do you think about when you think about a tree? I think about something that's strong. You know, something that's strong. Many of those old trees that have endured the storms down through the years, and the wind comes and they bend with the storm, but the next morning they're still standing upright with their arms stretched up praising God. I think of beauty. Praise God. Well, sure. Not all trees are, but a lot of them are. God has made a variety of them. And then some of them are fruit trees. They're productive. They produce something that's good. And he said, he shall, the blessed individual, shall be like a tree that's planted. Now, God places us in strategic places. Yes, he does. He puts us where he wants us. A lot of things, sprouts just come up in the way and they have to be cut down. They have to be done away with. And if they go grow up here by the side of the building, they grow up there and rub on the siding and rub on the side, on the shingles, and you go out and cut them off, and a year or two later, it seemed like they just thrive so well, and they're right back up there causing problems again. But not the blessed individual. They're in a strategic place. They've been put where God wants them to be put. Praise God. Be like a tree that's planted. And God plants us tenderly and carefully and wonderfully right in the place where we can be blessed and be a blessing. And where we can be a witness for him. Said his leaf also shall not wither. Now, our leaf is our testimony. I can prove that by the New Testament. You remember whenever Jesus saw that fig tree over there and it had leaves, and so it was testifying that it was a fig-bearing fig tree. Now, the thing that comes to our mind, if you'll remember, that Scripture says the time of figs was not yet. And yet Jesus went over there and he didn't find figs and he cursed that thing. Now Jesus is not unreasonable. But the reasonable explanation of that was that it testified of being a fig-bearing fig tree, and at that particular time, it should have had edible buds on it. And that's what Jesus was looking for, not figs yet, because the time of figs was not yet come. And he's not unreasonable, and he doesn't curse fig trees for not doing what would be unreasonable. So he went over there, and it was testifying, I'm a fig-bearing fig tree, but it didn't have edible buds on it. And he said, well, you're no benefit. Your day is done. His leaf also shall not wither. Whenever the drought comes, and I thought, and some of you have too, we had rain every day there for a while, and some were saying, oh, whenever it quits, it may quit, and that be it. And sometimes that happens. And the grass turns brown, and the ground breaks open, and it's just kind of a dry situation. And you know, spiritually, sometimes we go through the testing time, and we could call it the dry time if we wanted to. It's a testing time. You go to church. God's allowing us to see how we make it by faith rather than feeling. We go to church and we don't leave particularly hilariously blessed, though he does bless from and strengthens us from his word day by day. But we're not particularly hilariously blessed and running the aisles. It's always been relatively safe here, hasn't it? That's all right. But his leaf shall not wither when the drought comes, but he shall be like planted by the streams of water. And I don't know if that's above ground or if that's below ground or if that's both. But whenever the drought comes, somehow he's got root connections down to where he's drawing the moisture and the strength that he needs to survive the drought. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And that's why Brother Ziegler takes his hat off to the older saints that have weathered the storm and been faithful down through the testing times and down through the droughts. That testifies to him and to me the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. His leaf also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. In other words, it's going to come to fruition. Said he'll bear his fruit in his season. Now, the devil will jump onto you and say, why aren't you getting your prayers through? Why aren't your loved ones getting in? Why? Well, sometimes we wish it was that way. But he bringeth forth his fruit in his season, and sometimes it's out of season for the fruit-bearing tree. But it's going to happen if he'll just hold faithful and he'll just hold steady. Well, I'm nearly done. But he said, but the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff. Now, there's no benefit. I can't think of any one earthly benefit of chaff. It's without quality. It's without character. It's without any sense of direction. It's just carried whatever way the wind wants to carry it. And that's the way the ungodly. Wouldn't you hate to live in that kind of state, not knowing for the day or the week which way you're going to go? It'd just be the way circumstances and conditions would carry you. They're like the chaff. They're to be pitied. No character, no value. That's the way the ungodly are. Therefore, the ungodly, they can't stand in the judgment, or in other words, they can't stand justified at the judgment. But they're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Well, they're not going to make it. But the blessed individual can stand, can go through the dry times, go through the hard times, and be blessed in their heart, in their life, while they're doing it. I hope I've said something that would encourage you to keep on. Dr. Noel Scott said, preaching is supposed to help people. So if I've done that, I've succeeded. If I haven't, I've failed. Let's stand. Brian, would you dismiss us, please?